Thank you. We sure have, haven't we? We sure have. We certainly have. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 27. Chapter 27. And share a thought with you from the Word of God tonight. You know, we got so much to thank the Lord for. But yet so many times we get down, don't we? We get down. And what I'm preaching on tonight is David in dump time. David down in the dumps, or whatever you want to call it. But David got down in the dumps, and God was good to David. He's a man after God's own heart, and like David, you and I. Now, I'd say it's a sin to get down, but I'd say the greater sin is to stay down. Amen? We don't have to stay down. No, we don't have to stay down. And here, David has done some great things with God's help, but yet he's down this time. He's down. And there's really no reason for David to be down. And we'll share some of these things with you tonight. Father, we love you. Now I pray you'd bless the Word of God as we try to preach tonight. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful place and all that's been done, Lord, since we last been here. All the miracles of God, the blessings of God around this place, and we thank you for it. Thank you for this good church, this good pastor and his wife and family and church family. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us to be a help and a blessing tonight just for a little while now. In Christ's name, amen. All right, so y'all want me to read a verse or two. Okay, let me read a verse or two. Let me read verse 1 and 2, and you can sit down. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall spare me to seek me anymore in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. And David arose and passed over with 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maoch, king of Gath. Amen. All right, you can be seated. Well, I got just a few thoughts here, and then I'm not going to preach long. I'll probably be like that one feller. He apologized to the church. He said, I know the sermon's short tonight, but to be honest with you, a rover ate some of my notes. He chewed up my notes. And so when he went out the door, there was a visitor there. When he went out the door, he said, Preacher, if that dog ever has pups, I want one of them. I want to get one for my pastor. I want to get one of them pups if that dog ever has pups because our pastor preaches too long too. But here, David's done some, God's allowed David to do some great and mighty things. He's been with David. He's been with him. Back over in chapter 17. Now here's something I noticed in chapter 17 in verse 22. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army. David's running now. He's excited about the work of God. David ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. How about that? He ran to meet his friends. Amen. I look down in verse 48. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came near to meet David that David hastened and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. Here he is running to the battle. Running to the battle. Amen? Yes, sirree. And then verse 51. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. They ran. But David has been doing some great and mighty things for Almighty God. And David goes through trials and temptations, he did, just like you and I do. And we have to stay strong. We really do. If the devil can get us down in the dumps, if he can get us, I guess the words you want to use tonight is depressed. If he can get us depressed, he says, I got him now. Amen? And we have to watch that. That's why we have to read our Bibles every day. That's why we have to pray every day. That's why we have to be faithful in the house of God. Because the devil is walking about seeking who he may devour. David's a running. The devil's a walking. You think you're going to catch him? If I run and the devil walks, it looks like I can put the distance between me and the devil. You know what happens? I quit running and just mose along, and here comes the devil. I'm going to get him. And he does. He gets us. How about that? And so in chapter 17, David is running to the battle, running to the foe and to the fight. He's running. But here in chapter 27, he's running again, but he's going the wrong way. He's going the wrong way. Look at it now. He has no reason to do that. You and I have no reason tonight to be depressed. I'm telling you. As the old boys, I preached this in prison the other night, and I said, say it with me, fellas, what you always say, I'm too blessed to be depressed. And I made them do it two or three times. They enjoyed that. Too blessed to be depressed. And we are. We are too blessed to be depressed. But David here said in his heart, did God tell him this? No. Did somebody, of course, Samuel's already dead, but did somebody else tell him this? Oh, no, sirree. Here's what happens we say in our heart. Boy, you can't trust your heart. Amen? How many things we've done wrong by trusting in our heart? We've got to trust God. Amen? We try to trust God. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day. Now, who told him that? There's Abigail. There was Samuel. There was even Saul. And there was Jonathan. Four people I know of said, you're going to be the king. And David knew that more than they knew that. He had been anointed to be king. But here, he's in a depressed mood, and here he is with a diminishing confidence here in verse 1. I perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better. I'll tell you what would have been better, trusting God. I'll tell you what would have been better, getting on his knees and asking counsel from God. But you ain't going to find in this chapter here, and I'm going to tell you something when I get through here, how long it's been since David prayed, and show you where he started praying again. And when we get away from God, we won't pray. Amen? We will not pray. But the Bible says, there's nothing better for me that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall spare me to seek me any more. In any coast of Israel, so shall I escape out of his hand. How about that? Who am I? Saul couldn't put his hands on David. You remember there, David was standing around the walls of the cave, him and his men. How about that? Well, David is close to victory, and yet he runs. How many times are we close to a victory for God and get down and get depressed? Oh, we have to watch that. I like God's blessings, don't you? I really do. Yet depression overtakes him. The darkest hour is just before the dawn. And so I'm praying tonight, don't quit. Amen? Don't let the devil get you to quit. Amen? David quit. David ran. He should have been running again to the battle. He is a champion. But yet, he wasn't doing that. He was running. And you see where I run to here in a minute. That's the way most people do. You know, history bears it out. It's proof to keep on going. Listen to a few of these things. Dr. Seuss. Was that children's books? But Dr. Seuss' first book was rejected by 23 publishers. 23 publishers said, no, that won't be no good. That won't be no good. That book's no good. That book's no good. But the 24th took it on, the publisher. The 24th publisher that asked took it, and the first year made 6 million copies. He sold 6 million copies. What if he'd give up? What if he'd give up? What if he'd give up? Apple, everybody knows computer. Apple rejected by Hewlett Packard and by Atari. They said, that won't work. That Apple won't work. They had their first year sales of $2.5 million. What if they'd give up? What if they would have given up? Yes, sirree. Listen to this now. Coca-Cola's first year sales, number one soft drink in the world. Their first year sales was 400 cups is all they sold. How many in their first year? 400 cokes. Now, they're the number one soft drink, and I know I see it on the news of the night, around the world, Coca-Cola. Pepsi used to be number two, but Diet Coke bumped them out. Amen? Diet Coke's number two, they say. And Pepsi's number three now. What if they would have given up? Henry Ford. How many's got a Ford? I got a Ford truck. Amen? Okay. But anyhow, Henry Ford, his first 3 years of trying to build an automobile, he went bankrupt 2 out of 3 years. Henry Ford. What if he'd give up? What if he'd give up? No. Ford. I'm telling you, they said a lot of them now, don't they? They really do. Now, here's one that really surprised me. Did you know Michael Jordan won three championships? Was it three or more? I know he won three. Five championships. He was cut from his high school basketball team. They said, you're not good enough. And come back and win five championships. What if Michael would have said, okay, I don't guess I'm doing the right thing. I coach, I just don't guess I'll do it. He'd have never, you'd have probably never known that name. You'd have never known that name. Now, I'll tell you. And so history bears it out that we're not to give up. Amen? If you're in a depressed mood tonight, and I know some of you may have earthly right speaking, but I tell you, spiritually speaking, none of us have a right to be down in the dumps. We don't have a right to be there. No, sir, really. We shouldn't obligate the devil and be down when we glorify God and be up. Amen? Yes, sir. Who am I? Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. James chapter 1, verse 2 through verse 4. I believe we'll turn over there and read that. It won't take me but just a second to get there. I mean, y'all not turning your Bible, so I'll turn. Amen? But in James chapter, James chapter 1 and verse 2 through 4. The Bible says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall in the diverse temptations. You ever been there? Sure you have. You ever been depressed? Sure you have. They said D.L. Moody, the great man of God, would have weeks of dark, dark, dark depression. What a man of God. What if he'd have stayed there the first time he'd ever had a dark couple of weeks of depression? No, he'd get back up. By the grace of God, he'd get back up. Yes, sir. Knowing this, that the trying of faith work of patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect in attire, wanting nothing. How about that? Yes, sir. Oh, my. You know what was wrong here? First of all, let's notice David's perspective was wrong. He says to himself. He didn't inquire God. God didn't tell him that. None of his men told him that. His heart told him that. Now, if Saul's going to kill you, you better run. You better run. That's the same thing happened to Elijah, wasn't it? God didn't tell Elijah to run. He run, didn't he? Yes, sir. And we all have periods like that. Well, we can get right with God, can't we? We can get back where we are supposed to be. We don't have to stay there. Oh, no, we don't have to stay there. He says to himself, you want yourself. By the way, that's your enemy. That flesh is your enemy. The Spirit of God is your friend. And encourage you, but that yourself is your enemy. Nobody else trying to serve God. Why should I serve God? I mean, brother so-and-so and his family quit. Why don't we quit? We can't do that. God's been so good to us. And we all get depressed at times. We all get depressed. I don't care how good a man of God or a woman is saved. I don't care how spiritual they are. There's times they get depressed. There's times I can walk in that door underneath the threshold. You don't have to open the door. Yeah, sure. We get depressed. We sure do. You know what he's doing? He's lost sight of God. And David knew God better than anybody in the Old Testament, as far as that goes, unless it's Moses. I mean, David was a man after God's own heart. He knew God. He knew what God can do. I've often said this. I say it again tonight. Yeah, I know your pastor said it before. Don't make no decision when you're down. Don't you do it. You'll make the wrong one. I guarantee you. Don't make no decision when you're down. Wait on God. Pray about it. Ask counsel of God. Yes, sir. Oh, my. And number two, his pessimistic reason. I shall now perish. I'm going to die if I stay here. David knew better than if he was thinking right. He just wasn't thinking right. I mean, he's listening to his heart. He knew God was going to make him king. David knew that. Well, why isn't he doing God's will? I don't know. I just say down in the dumps. Amen? And we get that way sometimes. Why don't we serve God as we ought to? Well, sometimes we just get down in the dumps. We get listening to self. Yes, sir. He has no proof of this. He wants to be king. I've already said this. Samuel told him. Abigail told him. Jonathan told him. Saul's son. And also Saul. In chapter 26 and verse 25. If you want to read it. Amen. And listen. You say, well, if I get down in the dumps, it won't affect nobody but me. Look at verse 2. And David arose. And he passed over with his 600 men. You're a leader to somebody. You know that? You're a leader to somebody. Somebody's watching you. Could be your children. Could be the brother beside of you on the pew, the sister. Somebody's watching you. And when you and I get down in the dumps, I'm not talking about be a hypocrite. I'm not talking about glory to God, hallelujah, and be a hypocrite about it. But I'm telling you, I believe God will forgive us for that. But we just need to go on for God. Amen? We don't need to get down and stay there. Oh my, get out of there as soon as you can. Amen? You're not helping nobody when we get down there. I'm helping nobody when I get in that shape. And so we need to get out of there. Third, his problems. Oh my, they were already past. His fear of the future. Oh my. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. What did David have right here? The spirit of fear. The spirit of fear. That's not of God. Now, you need to fear God. You need to reverence God. But God said, we're not to fear no man. No siree. And he was afraid of Saul. And if you look down there in verse 4, and the latter part, and he saw him no more again for him. He sought no more for him. What's that talking about? I'm talking about Saul coming after David. He didn't ever come after him anymore. Didn't ever come after him anymore. No, sir, you say, well, that's because he went in the land of Philistines. Well, Saul, he'd go in there and get him, amen? But the Bible said he sought him no more. But David's worried about, did you know a lot of things you worry about never come to pass? This never came to pass. No, sir, this never came to pass. How about that? Oh, my. And then fourth, look at it now, his prayerlessness. Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men are always to pray and not to faint. You showed me a prayer verse here in chapter 27. Show me one. There's not one prayer verse here that David prayed. Not one. He's taking things on his own. How about that? Oh, my. And then number two, you know what he was doing when he left God out? And what we do when we leave God out of our lives and so forth and so on? He there was dependence upon the enemy. He said, I'm going to go beyond dependent upon the enemy. They'll protect me. Well, what about God? What about Almighty God? What about God? I'm going to go beyond to the enemy's camp, and they will protect me. Listen, the devil's not going to protect you. The devil will kill you if he can. Amen? One for God's mercy and God's protection, the devil will kill all of us. Why do I want to go back to the enemy? I have no desire to go back where I was at. Amen? No, sirree. God protects me. God takes care of me. Trusting in King Achish. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to all understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Why is the king, really the king, why is he not doing this? Man, that made me wonder. I mean, he's done some great and mighty things for God. And here he is running, really from the will of God, believing in his own heart, and going over yonder and join the enemy's camp. You know what this is? This is a type of getting out of church. This is a type of leaving Open Door Baptist Church. Whispering Pines Baptist Church. We just had a couple do that. And they end up going more or less to the enemy's camp. I mean, going, listen to their heart. God didn't tell them that. The flesh told them that. You better watch that. I'm telling you, the flesh told them that. Oh, my. Stay with God and he will get you over the hump. He'll get you out of the dump. Amen? And over the hump, praise God. Yes, sirree. If we just stay with God, I'm saying don't give up. Now listen to this. There was a feller sitting on a riverbank, bunch of stones. him and some old fellows, there's bankrupt. They didn't have nothing. This is back in 1942. They're hunting maybe a little gold, or maybe a diamond. They've heard some things was around there. And these men were hunting. And this man, his name, listen to this now, his name was Raphael Salome. He made a remark to the other men. He said, I picked up 999,999 stones and not one piece of gold or not one diamond. And old fella sitting over there sarcastically said, go ahead, Salome, pick up another and make a million. Make it a million. He picked it up and it was a diamond. He picked it up and it's a diamond. A Harry Winston in New York back in that day, he gave him $200,000 for that diamond. They said it's still in the museum. It's the size of a hen egg. They said it's the purest and biggest pure diamond ever been on record. Go ahead, pick a nut up. Amen. Go ahead, pick a nut up. Amen. That's like playing the lottery. Go ahead and get a nut, and this will be it. Amen. Now don't do that. Amen. Don't do that. But anyhow, I'm saying he picked it up. Oh my. And the man gave him that money, and they called that diamond, the man, Harry Winston named it, he called it the Liberator. That would have sure liberated me, praise God, if I'd have found it. Amen. That would have sure liberated me. Oh my. Yes, sirree. Oh, then you see the discontinuation of Saul, and we see that there in verse 4, and it was told Saul that they was fled to Gath, and his salts no more again for him. Saul, he wasn't really after David. No, it was the flesh out of David. It's the flesh that got David down. We've got to watch that stuff, haven't we? We really got to watch that. Oh my, we've got to watch it. Then the dwelling place, he sought. He didn't seek God. And David said unto Agag, if I have now found grace. He's talking about him now. This is like talking to the devil. Now, can you believe that? God's man. A Christian. And David said to Agag, if I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? And you know the story, give him a Ziklag. You know the story there. I don't have to go into detail of that. The pressure of the wave. That's what Ziklag means. David was under pressure. He is under pressure because he is trying to serve two masters. You can't serve two masters. Ain't no way. That ain't with a capital A. It ain't no way you can serve two masters. Oh, no, sir. Matthew 6:24 says that. You'll either serve the one or serve the other. And David, I mean, he was down there for 16 months serving the enemy, serving the devil. And God up there waiting on David to come back. Waiting on David. Yes, sirree. Well, that's what he's doing when we get down in the dumps, when we get away from the Lord. Yes, sirree. Oh, my. I tell you. And you know how he went back. You know how he went back and the city was burned? Don't you know those daddies said, praise God, we're going back. I can't wait to hear my little boy. My little girl's voice. I can't wait to hug my wife. And they topped out of the horizon, and all they could see was smoke. And them old boys got mad, didn't they? The Bible said they spake a stone in David. How about that? Well, it was David's fault he took them out there. I mean, they followed David. It's like Peter. Peter said, and you know his backslid. Peter said, I go fishing. Six of them said, we'll go with you. We'll go with you. You reckon it'll have effect on Lee and Doug and their families if, Paul, if I got out of church, if I quit, grandkids? Because somebody's watching us. You know what? Somebody's watching us. We have no reason. We have no reason to be down in the dumps. Now look at chapter, and I'll wind it down. I can preach more, but I'm gonna wind it down. But look at chapter 30. From chapter 27, 28, 29, listen, there wasn't no praying for David. He told lies. He lied what he was doing. He was killing the Philistines, but he told them he was killing his people, the Israelites. Agag said, man, you're my buddy. Oh, he's going to be with me. He's a horde of his people. He's been murdering his people. Oh, no. David's been killing everybody. So nobody tell on him. Amen? David even got the lion. It's amazing what we'll do when we get away from God. He's covering up one thing with another. Lie after lie after lie after lie. How about that? And God's mercy. God could have said, okay, David, I'm going to let you get out of this on your own. I'm not going to get you out of it. You get out on your own. But God's mercy got David out. The men said, we don't want him to go. He'll turn on us. He'll turn on us. The king still believed in him and said, yet do I believe in him. David, you got to return. Verse 11, so David and his men, chapter 29, rose up early to depart in the morning to return to the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines went up to Jezreel. And you'll see there where he came to his camp there. But after that happened, now let me say this. God knows how to get you out of the dump. God knows how to get your attention. One fellow told me one time, let God get my attention. I said, you shouldn't say that. God can get your attention. God can get it. He went through some heartaches too. I don't know where God's ever got his attention yet or not. But he said, you let God get my attention. I don't need y'all coming out here. You let God get my attention. Well, it's been 16 months. And when they going to stone him, he said, bring me the ephod. What's he going to do? Well, verse 8 of chapter 30. And David inquired. That's the first time he prayed in 16 months. 16 months. They say that David sinned with Bathsheba when a year before he confessed it. That's hard to believe. You say, that can't be David. Well, it was. If Bible history's right. A year before he confessed it. Tried to hide it. He lied about it. Here he is lying again. Here he is lying again. And 16 months, God got his attention. Inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake it? And he answered him, pursue, for that shall surely overtake them. And without fail, recovered all. How about that? And the destruction and deceit of David, the last point there. And he deceived the king. Oh, he just brought havoc and destruction. And that was, if David can do that, you think you and I can do that? We sure can. You say, bless God, I wouldn't do that. I read about David. Bless God, that's not me. You better watch it. While they let their kids do this and do that, bless God, I'll never do that. You better watch it. You better watch it. Somebody said the other day, man, you've done a great job with your kids. I said, no, it's been God. It hadn't been me. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve two boys preaching, a daughter serving God. I don't deserve that. I'll be honest with you. You say, well, I may have done some things right. I kept them in church. I tried to stay up. I got in the nuts. I tried to get back out, and I guess God's rewarded me for it. But I don't deserve it. Somebody's got children in here that's broke your heart. Somebody's got children you can't get in the house of God. And you raised them right. You say, preacher, as far as I know, I wasn't perfect, but I tried to keep them in church, and I tried to raise them right. But after they get out on their own now, you know how you're going to control them? On your knees. That's the only way you control them. You control them on your knees in prayer. Yes, sirree. And so let me encourage you tonight, and I'm going to close. You've got the message, but don't give up. And don't give up. This pastor needs you. His wife, the church family, y'all need each other. I need y'all. Y'all need me. I'm not a member of this church, but I need you. And y'all need me. We need each other. Amen? Don't give up. Don't give up. Amen? This feller, and I hope this don't offend nobody, it's sort of a joke. And I know suicide is bad, And I feel sorry for folks that do it. I really do. But this old boy, he walked in on his buddy, and he had a rope around his wrist. He was hanging there by his wrist. He said, what are you trying to do? He said, I'm trying to commit suicide. He said, don't you know you got to put the rope around your neck? He said, yeah, I tried that, but it was choking me. You'll get it when you get to the house. Amen. Have you seen that crane standing out in some water? Big old bird, a crane, and this frog in his mouth, and all that's sticking out is his legs, and the frog is saying, never, 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 get up, give out. I mean, quit. I'm going to get out of this train's mouth somehow or another. The train already about consumed him. He said, never, never give up. Amen? Let's don't give up. Amen. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for loving us, being so good to us.
Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says in John chapter number 14 that Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and he's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin, and turn to Jesus Christ, and by faith believe in his death, his burial, and his resurrection, salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.